Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
There's only one right way to live life, and that's God's way. He's the author, the creator, and the designer. Next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, we study how to overcome 10 of life's greatest challenges. That's next on Daily in the Word. Stay with us. God designed and created life. He knew what our struggles would be, and He knew how desperately we would need Him as our Savior. Next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, we're going to study how to overcome life's greatest challenges. We're looking at Exodus chapter 20, and we're going to study the Ten Commandments. Welcome to Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and this program features the teaching and the preaching of Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in the high desert of Southern California, Lancaster, California. This program comes to you every Monday through Friday. We hope you'll join us for every step of this series. If you have missed a portion of this series or would like to hear recent broadcasts, don't forget you can visit us online at dailyintheword.org. You can also subscribe for free to the Daily in the Word podcast and take this program with you on your phone or iPod or personal computer. Once again, you can find all of this and much, much more at dailyintheword.org. For our final message in this series, we turn to the teaching of Jesus as we study the Great Commandment. Here's Pastor Chappell.
Years ago, we got together with some of the men from our church and began to prayerfully consider a purpose statement for Lancaster Baptist Church. I began to read dozens and really hundreds of verses as we searched the Scriptures to see what are the central themes of Scripture, what is the central theme of the New Testament church, and how could we best articulate that for our church members and for those who would become a part of our church in years to come. Through that time of study, I came to this portion of Scripture as one upon which I meditated for several days. Here, the Lord Jesus gives what is called the Great Commandment. Here, the Lord Jesus says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart." Hence, when you look in the bulletin of Lancaster Baptist Church, you'll find the purpose statement of Lancaster Baptist is stated, first and foremost, to be a place that will inspire people to develop a heart for God. A place to inspire people to develop a heart for God. For this is the great commandment of Jesus Christ, that we would love Him with all our heart. It is the will of God that we would love Him with all of our heart. Now, don't get me wrong, there are many commandments in the Bible. There are many objectives that a New Testament church seeks after. It is our desire to be a church that evangelizes our community. It is our desire to be a church that supports and sends missionaries around the world. It is our desire that this would be a place where people are edified and taught and trained. There are many great purposes and objectives, but the first objective is that all of us today would have hearts for God. Because if we do not love God from our heart, the rest of these things aren't going to happen. The rest of the commandments will never be obeyed. And so the Christian life begins in the heart and in our relationship with God. Now in this text, Jesus had been questioned by several of the scribes and Pharisees. And now one of the scribes, here referred to as a lawyer, begins to ask questions again. And he says, "Lord Jesus," he said, "Jesus, what is the great commandment?" We know in the Bible, besides the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, we know that there were many other commandments given. And in fact, the Jewish teachers had set up an additional 600 extra biblical commandments as ways to follow after and please God. There were hundreds of commandments. And so this lawyer says, what is the great commandment? And Jesus responds and says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Now Jesus knew that love will provide for every need that man has. Therefore, love is the greatest commandment, and love for God, the greatest commandment of all. You see, every morning in the Old Testament era, the Jewish people would rise up, fathers with their families, and amongst other things, they would say to the Lord Jesus the words of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. And they would recite these verses which say, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And every day this was repeated by the fathers with their families. By the way, thank God for Christian families that talk about the Word and that talk about God with their children. The great commandment then is a commandment to love. And if we do not love the Lord with all of our heart, then the messages of the past 10 weeks were merely wasted time. Because if we do not love the Lord with all of our heart, we will not want to keep His commandments. We will not sing, we will not worship, we will not attend, we will not serve, we will not sacrifice, we will not keep any of the commandments if we do not love the Lord our God with all of our heart. And so God's desire for us is that we would enter into a heart relationship with Him that is real and vibrant. And that's what I want to speak with you about this morning, how to fulfill this great commandment. I want you to see in the first place with me that God wants us to love Him with a personal love. God wants us to love Him with a personal love. And I want you to notice in the text what the Bible says in verse number 37. It says, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord. What do the next two words say? The Lord thy God. The words thy God, or we could say your God, imply a personal relationship with Him. But how do we on this earth love God? How do we express our love to Him? How do we grow in an intimate love relationship with the Creator of the universe? Now, people try to do this in a lot of strange ways, I might add. For example, I know some people that they'll go to Sedona, Arizona. They'll find a big red rock. They will sit on that red rock with their legs crossed. How many of you would say, I'm glad that's not a part of our religion? And they will sit there sometimes for hours trying to get in touch with the universe or the earth goddess Gaia, as they call it. They are trying to be at one with their God, which is planet Earth. By the way, how many of you are glad we're not here today to worship planet Earth? But some people do that, trying to get closer to God. Some people will climb up the steps of large places and edifices of worship, and they will climb on their knees until their knees are bleeding, and the more blood and the more pain, the more they feel they're getting closer to God. I have seen that with my own eyes several times. There are even people in places like the Philippines that have voluntarily had themselves nailed to a cross and suspended up in the air as a part of a parade, and literally their blood was shed, and they literally went through that type of pain trying somehow to get closer to God. Now, none of these ways, nor many other ways that could be named, are mentioned in the Bible as ways to get closer to the Lord. So how can we draw closer to Him in a personal love relationship? Well, I want you to notice three very important ways if you want this kind of a heart relationship with God. First of all, we do this by realizing His love. God wants us to stop and remember that He loves us. He wants us to contemplate that. And remember, my friend, that it was God who purposed to love you. It was God who initiated the love in the first place. Look in your notes there at 1 John 4:18. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Verse 19, we love Him because He first loved us. All right, let's say that together. We love Him because He in theological terms, we say God is the prime mover. He showed His love to us first. Romans 3 says, we were all gone our own way. We weren't seeking after God, but He sought after us. He loved us. One pastor was writing in an article about the fact that he and his wife were not able to have children. And he said in the article, for 15 years, they prayed to have a child the natural way. However, one day he was approached with news of a newborn yet not born, and this baby would be up for adoption. The pastor wrote, I remember standing in the front of the judge on that day of our adoption. The judge pointed his finger at me, he wrote, and he said, is anyone coercing you to adopt this baby boy? After we assured him that we were doing this from a heart of love, the judge next made this statement. From today on, he is your son. He may disappoint you. He may grieve you, but he is your son. Everything you own one day will be his, and he will bear your name. Then he looked at the clerk and said, so order a change in the child's birth certificate, and may it reflect that these are the parents of this child. The pastor said, it was then that I realized my Heavenly Father loved me so much that without coercion, He loved me and gave His all to me. And on the day that He saved me, He changed my name, and I will gladly bear His name and His image. How many of you this morning are thankful that God loved you so much that He was willing to adopt you into His family and change your name and give you a home in heaven for all of eternity? I want you to think about it this morning. God loves you. One author said, if God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. If God had a wallet, your picture would be in it. He sends you flowers every spring and a sunrise every morning, and He wants to listen to you when you talk to Him. God loves you. There was a pastor in Scotland by the name of George Matheson. As a junior high boy, this young boy heard the news that he would one day become blind. He was having more and more difficulty seeing. They said, your eyesight will be gone soon. Recognizing his eyesight would be gone, he quickly went to the University of Glasgow, where he registered and began to study theology. Into his second or third year, his eyesight went completely. He was now a blind young man, but his sisters came to the college, and there they took notes and helped him rehearse, and with their assistance, he graduated at age 19 from Glasgow University. As this man, George Matheson, then prepared to go into the ministry, the one joy of his life was his fiancée, a young woman with whom he had fallen in love, a woman with whom he had looked forward to marrying and living his life with, but his heart collapsed when he heard the news that she was unwilling to marry a blind man. She returned the ring. His sisters consoled him, and he went on into the ministry. One day, some years later, his sister came and said, George, rejoice with me. I've become engaged. I'm going to get married. And while he was happy for her, it only opened up the wounds of the past. And he began to think again about his singleness. And it was during that time that this godly pastor wrote the hymn. The words are in your notes. The hymn is entitled, O Love That Will Not Let Me Go. O love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee. I give thee back the life I owe, that in thine ocean depths it flow may richer, fuller be. And I want you to know this morning, there will be times and relationships in your life that will break, and there will be people that will say, I don't want to be your friend anymore, and I don't want to spend time with you anymore, and the engagement is broken off. And there will be many, many times in your life when people will let you go, but there is one who will never let you go. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He is the God of heaven, and He loves you. I say to you this morning that if you would stop and realize His love, it's an overwhelming thing to know the love of God. Before there was black and white, there was a loving God. And before there was Republican and Democrat, there was a loving God. And before there was Shiite and Sunni, there was a God in heaven who loved and who called out and said, I love you and I want you. And He wants us to receive that love today. He is a loving God. We need to realize His love. But notice, secondly, we need to receive His gift. We need to receive His gift. Now, how can I have a personal relationship with Him? I must personally receive Him. 1 John 3:23 says, and this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. He says, in one place, love the Lord your God. In another place, he says, believe on his Son, as if synonymously saying to us, here's the commandment, if you would love God, then receive his Son, 1 John 3:23, 1 John 4:8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. You say, well, I'd like to know more about God's love. Think about the fact that God loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son, the Son with whom he had fellowship in eternity past. And Jesus came, and the Holy Ghost conceived in Mary's womb, and Jesus was born in Bethlehem's manger, and he was placed there in the stable amidst, no doubt, the dirt and the animals surrounding the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, came into this world, and he grew in favor and in wisdom and in stature, the Bible says, and in favor with God and man. And the Bible says he lived a perfectly sinless life. And then, for that, he went to the old rugged cross and there shed his blood on the cross for our sin. You want to know what this Christmas season is all about? It's all about God's way of providing a perfect gift for us, and that perfect gift was his only begotten Son. That's God's gift. That's why Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father except by me. Oh, I know, Herod rejected Jesus. He wanted to take the life of this baby. I know that he rejected him, but I also know the shepherds received him. And it's been that way since the beginning of time. Jesus came bringing a sword or a division. There will always be those who receive. There will always be those who will reject. But the question this morning, my friend, have you received Jesus as your Savior? Has there been a time in your life when you realized the love of God and when you received the gift of God? You see, it's one thing to have love expressed to you. It's another thing to have love received. How many of you have ever tried to love someone or express love to someone and only to have that rejected? Only to have someone say, not interested? That's a painful experience. I remember when we first started dating, Terry and I, in Bible college, and I remember taking Terry out and starting to like her and really like her. Then getting to that place where I thought I loved her. Boy, I tell you what, I remember after one of our early dates there with some friends from college and just getting together afterwards and having something to drink and just trying to express to her how I felt. And I said to her, I said, Terry, there's something I want to tell you. Yes? Well, I had fun tonight. Then I put it in reverse and tried at it again. Terry, there's something I need you to know. Yes? You have a really nice truck. She had a Toyota SR5 truck. She often tells me, I married her for that truck. And then I came at again. I said, Terry, there's something I want to tell you. I love you. I'll never forget that because she just looked right back at me like this. And if there's ever a terrible empty feeling in a young Bible college student's heart, it's that feeling, Brother Schmidt, after you just told someone you love them, they said nothing back, and you're walking back to your dorm trying to figure out what's going on. I won't go through the whole story. I experienced that feeling two more times. Thank God, after several attempts and telling her I love her, one day she looked at me and she said, and I love you too. Whoo, fireworks went off in heaven, I'm telling you. Boy, it's one thing to express love, but when that love is received, and sometimes I wonder what it must be like for God. Who loves people in Iraq and in America and everywhere in between? God who is love, God who sent his Son to say, I love you, and yet many in the world today outright reject that Jesus Christ is God's Son. They do not believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again. And I'm saying to you this morning, it's one thing to hear about God's love. It's another thing to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. You want to have a relationship with God? Then realize His love. And secondly, receive His love. And thirdly, let me challenge you today to read His Word. Read His Word. You see, the Bible is God's love letter to you and to me. God expresses over and again His love to us. Luke 24:44, and He said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." John 5:39, He said it this way, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." Jesus said, you want to know me? Then search the Scriptures. You want to know more about me? Then study what the Bible says about me, because it is here that you will find me. This love, when God tells us, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind, it is a personal love. I'm glad today we don't have a relationship merely with a church. We have a relationship with a Savior this morning. It's a personal relationship with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But notice secondly, it's not only a personal love, it is a devoted love. Now very quickly, see with me in verse 37 what the Bible says. Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind." We are to love God then with our entire being. And Christ breaks this love into three distinctive parts, and I share them with you quickly. First, He says, "I want you to love me with all your heart." With our whole heart, we're to love Him. We are to cultivate a heart for God. And in the Bible, the word heart means the totality of our innermost being. It means with all you are. That's why the Bible says in Proverbs 3:5, "Trust the Lord with all thine what? Heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him." God wants us to worship Him from the heart. The heart is the seat of our affection and our will. The heart is what causes us to give over to either good or evil. Someone says, "Well, he has a bad heart." Someone says, "He's a good-hearted person." What are they talking about? They're talking about the innermost being of that person. Notice, if you would, in Matthew 15:18, what it says. "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart." Someone says, "Why did he say that?" Because it was on his heart. "And they defile the man." Verse 19, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with an unwashed hands defileth not a man." Someone says, "Why does someone murder? Why does someone commit adultery? Why does someone bear false witness?" Because from the heart are the issues of life. And out of the heart flows these thoughts and then these actions. Hence, when our heart is a heart for God and we're loving God with our whole heart, that will be reflected in the way we live as well. You see, the highest joy of man comes from cultivating the deepest part of man, and that is the heart. There's nothing better than letting God work on your heart. The highest joy of man comes from cultivating the deepest part of man, the heart. And listen, when the heart is pure, the vision is clear. When God is what your heart worships and longs for, then God is going to give you a clear vision on which way to go in your life, you see. Now let me give you four quick ways to keep your heart focused on God. Just real quick. They're in your notes. First, we keep our heart on God through scriptural singing. Through our singing. Ephesians 5:18-19. Brother Schmidt brought a great message two Sunday nights ago all about music. If you weren't here, you ought to get the tape. Because music is a powerful instrument for good or bad. It is not amoral. It is not neutral. Music will either cultivate your heart for God or cultivate your heart away from God.
You've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California, on today's edition of Daily in the Word. We're studying a series entitled Overcoming Life's Greatest Challenges. It's a verse-by-verse study of the Ten Commandments from Exodus chapter 20. Friend, the most overarching truth of this study is that apart from God, we cannot overcome these struggles. These laws are impossible for us to keep in and of ourselves, which is why we so desperately need Jesus Christ to be our Savior. Friend, if you haven't trusted Christ as your personal Savior, I hope you'll do that right now. I hope you'll bow your head and heart wherever you may be and invite Jesus Christ into your life to be your personal Savior, your only Savior. Place your full trust in Him and accept His great gift of salvation. If you have questions about that, we sure would love to talk with you about it. I'll give you our toll-free number in just a moment. Don't forget, you can visit us online and find out a lot more about Daily in the Word and the ministry of Dr. Paul Chapel. On our website, you'll find a daily devotional along with an Old Testament and New Testament scripture reading for every day. This complimentary devotional can come straight to your email box and help remind you every day to walk with God. If you follow it along throughout the year, you'll read through the Bible in a year. You'll find this and many other resources on the website, including this series, Overcoming Life's Greatest Challenges, with its recent broadcasts. And you can subscribe complimentary to the Daily in the Word podcast. You can download Daily in the Word to your computer, your phone, or your iPod, and take it with you to listen to at your convenience. All of this is to be found at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. If you'd like to call us, we sure would love to hear from you. Our toll-free number is 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that number is 1-800-201-7748. Or you can write to us at Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.